Retail Therapy. My name's Will DeFries. Barrett Dudley, how are we doing today?
We're doing wonderful. I hope everybody's having a nice, glorious Easter Sunday. You know, and in honor of the time, I'm really excited today to dive in with you as we explore the entire timeline of Drake and Kendrick Lamar's rocky simmering feud. Yeah.
I've only somewhat dipped into this.
Yeah.
I have seen that there is a young lady on Instagram that they are apparently feuding over named Diana.
Oh, is there a lady involved?
I think there's a lady involved. And while I don't have much more
info. They're beefing over a chick.
Yeah. I don't know, to be honest. I try to avoid the beefs.
Are forgetting the you know that it's bros before hoes.
They're absolutely forgetting.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I try to remove myself from the beefs until they get too big that you can't avoid them, and it hasn't totally reached my timeline yet. So I'm doing my best to keep it at an arm's length.
It's just started to trickle into mine, and I listened to the diss track, the Kendrick Lamar verse on the Future song today, actually, for the first time. The beat goes hard.
Like okay.
That song is, you know, it slaps.
I have not dipped in yet.
But I need to I couldn't quite figure out, you know, what exactly the diss was. And then I didn't really realize that Drake has apparently been, you know, subliminally, you know, sneak dissing Kendrick for a while. I don't know. So I gotta dive in. But maybe today's not the day for
I just worry Drake needs some more friends.
Yeah.
I think
he
needs friends to be like, dude, stop.
Well,
like,
I mean,
just relax.
It's like he said, though, no new friends.
It's true. Maybe he said that a little too early.
He might need
to open up the application process again, because I feel like he just needs some people in his corner.
Also, some of the old
bit.
Friends might have turned like really toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He might want to rethink that policy.
Yeah.
He knows too many people right now they didn't know last year.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are y'all?
See, he's not dealing with the male friendship dip after the age of 40. I don't know. How old is Drake these days?
He's got to be close to 40. No, I think he's our age. 38.
How old? He's a couple months older than me. He's 37 right now.
37.
He will be 38 in October, as he is October's very own.
That's true. That is true. That's, OVO.
Well, I'm currently beefing with Barrett Dudley.
Oh, okay.
You have done several things to me over the last week that I just really didn't think were going to happen. I've downloaded the Adidas sneaker app. I have willingly put my credit card information in for $250 for a pair of fucking Sambas.
Yeah,
plus tax.
Yeah.
And you have me experiencing a feeling that I really haven't felt in a really long time, which is pre-cop anxiety. And it's for the Joun Sambas that are the most supple leather you could find. And I'm just kind of annoyed with you. You really put me onto something that's an extended wait when it comes to signing up for the raffle. Now I'm getting notifications about Yeezy slides for babies on the app, which I just simply don't need.
Fritz has not just been like, you know, like banging on your door being like, where are my Yeezy slides? See, he's not just demanding them.
I think there's a world where I do buy my son's Yeezy slides, but I think that world might have gone away a couple years ago.
I
just don't think I'm there yet. If he sees some and he really wants some, then I might make it happen for him. But like, I don't like this, Barrett. It's an uncomfortable feeling. I feel like when Yeezy 350s were actually like going crazy, this is how I felt trying to get a pair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know, you know, I'm not a, I can't predict the future or anything, but right now, if you go into StockX and you pull up the Adidas Jound white Samba OG, I'm pulling up my size 9 here. I could buy right now for $356.
Is it actually like, are you actually going to get them though?
I don't know. They haven't even been released yet. There's no early pairs. Now somebody has a pair and they're going to sell them for $100 more than the retail price.
I've seen exactly one pair on the TL that was an early gift.
Yeah, it's that same video that everybody's posting. I don't think we know who those are.
I saw one person that actually had the shoes shipped to them, and they did like a story of them unboxing them.
Okay.
And it truly only made me want them more.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe I think I'm on tilt a little bit. I think I said during the last episode I've returned the last three pairs of sneakers that I've bought due to size issues, and I'm just really not having fun in this world right now. And so I know that Adidas will fit me well. I know that a Samba will fit me well. It's just a matter of getting them at this point.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Have you signed up?
Oh, yeah, I signed up day one on the Confirmed app, and I got my alarm ready to go, you know, for Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central.
I think it's dangerous.
And by the time you're listening to this podcast, Will and I will have, you know, been successful or not.
They might even be on our feet at this point.
Jown notoriously slow shipping, actually, I believe. So
I believe it.
Yeah.
I need Adidas to go through every single person's raffle. Mm-hmm. I need them to do a complete docs of their social feeds.
Yeah.
And I want to see if they have tweeted anything about disliking Sambas being out. I want to know if they've liked any tweets, maybe like some Instagrams. I want them to go back and run the tape from previous group dinner conversations they say Sambas are so overdone.
Yeah,
you're
how about
out.
How about in the algo, if you're commenting on like a post from like, I don't know, like Hypebeast or Sneaker News, and you're trashing the fact that Adidas is about to drop a very simple basic, and you're like, $250 for a Samba? Bullshit. Mm-hmm. Get out of here.
Yeah, you're out.
You shouldn't be allowed to enter if you do that.
You're out. Right. I don't like the people commenting that because I don't want the reminder.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put my credit card info in and just completely forget about this.
It should be a blessing. It's nice that they're charging this much. Like, hopefully that weeds the phonies out.
The most retail therapy coded logic I've ever heard. No, it's a blessing they're charging more. It's going to make it so much easier for us. This is the mentality.
I do not expect it to be easy. I would say I feel like I have like about a 10% chance.
Okay.
On the Adidas Confirmed app, I have no idea. I have no idea what to expect there. Probably nothing. But going for them on the Jound website.
Not even going to bother.
Oh, you're not going to try that?
I don't know. I didn't really think about that.
That's your best shot.
Is that the best shot? Same time?
That's what I'm talking about with the 11 a.m. Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow on the Jown website is when the actual drop is. Adidas Confirmed. I think the raffle closes tomorrow at some point as well. And like, maybe you'll hit, maybe you won't. But like, chances are you won't. Because
all right, I'll get in.
How many entries?
What time?
In there?
What time are we doing this?
11 a.m. Central. 11 a.m.
It's a terrible time for me.
Yeah,
but I will endure.
Just got to clear the calendar.
I'll get the Adidas drop. I'm not worried about it. I'm putting positive vibes out.
Give it your best shot. But yeah, I mean, and in the case that you take the L, you did not spend $250 plus shipping and tax on an Adidas Samba.
There you go. So I'm going to shame anyone that gets it that I didn't. You idiots.
Then you can get in the comment section and be like, RIP bozos.
I was waiting for the black. I was just waiting for the black.
Yeah.
I didn't even want the white that much.
The Bodie Nikes are better anyway.
Dude. No, dude. Yeah. Sambas are so out.
Yeah. A lot of these are a year too late comments as well. Yeah.
The Sambas will still never go out. I don't care what anyone says. They might not be the hot sneaker, but I'm not going to call them out ever on someone's feet. It's just not the business that I'm in.
I will. I'll give you all one more kind of like little tip here. If you do strike out, but you got to have them and you kind of like the slightly different creamier look. As opposed to the kind of the stark white with the classic OG Samba right here. I'll pull them up. It's very white on top, and the bottom is kind of like a dark brown, right? On an OG Samba. Here,
yeah.
Here.
I think that's fair.
Take a look. Yeah. So that gum sole is like kind of like a dark brown.
Yeah.
Right on the original. So. If you go and you search for the Adidas Samba in the Sand Strata colorway.
Okay. Okay.
That's going to get you these.
Okay.
Which look very, 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 very similar to the Jown Samba colorway, which is a little bit more earthy, a little bit softer on the whites. And these come with a pair of white laces.
But what if you're at a party and you walk in and everyone starts pointing at your feet and they're like, he got the other version.
Yeah, Well, you know, that's when it's nice to have friends that don't care about this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think 99.9% of my friends don't care about it. But like, you're all like, before going to a group dinner, I'm standing there in the mirror being like, are they going to know that I wore this shirt to the last group dinner I had with them 3 months ago?
But no, nobody's going to, you'll just be like, that's when you just get to get on your high horse and be like, oh, $250 for Sambas. No thanks. But yeah, so I procured a pair of these last week and they're sitting on ice just waiting to bust out once I take the L.
You pre-copped.
I pre-copped.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that about you.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into today, make sure to go get the Listener Companions on Substack, link in the description. Watch on YouTube, youtube.com/SundayScariesPodcast, link in the description. And finally, at retail.pod on Instagram, again, link in the description. We've also got some candles available, Retail Therapy 001 Suede. Go check those out, link in the description, obviously. But I don't think we need to mess around anymore, Barrett. Can we dive in?
Let's dive in.
What's the last Michelin star restaurant that you ate at?
I've never eaten at a Michelin star restaurant.
You've probably eaten at restaurants that very much deserve Michelin stars, but you just they just don't do it in Texas.
They do not get, there's no Michelin people presence. They don't do stars in Texas. No.
Why don't they? Is it just a pure money thing, pay to play?
I think so.
I think so, too. Yeah. We do have James Beard Awards here, which is, I would say, is a very good way of knowing that a restaurant has some type of notoriety to it.
I think that's right. But I don't think you have to, it doesn't seem like you have to pay to play with the James Beard Award stuff the same way that you do with the Michelin thing. Have we ever talked about the origin of the Michelin star, by the way?
No. I mean, I know that it's actually from the tire company, but outside of that, I don't know much else.
And they back when this started, they were putting together a guide. This was over 100 years ago, I'm pretty sure. And tires were very expensive and they didn't last that long. And so they put out this guide as like in a restaurant getting a Michelin star was basically like, it's worth you driving on your wildly ass expensive tires that you have to replace like every time you drive 50 miles. Be like, it's worth going. It's worth burning your tires on basically.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Look at that. The more you know.
Yeah. So that's, and I'm paraphrasing. You can go look up the actual history. But yeah, Texas doesn't do Michelin stars. Every time like Eater Austin or some food blogger like posts about like, is Texas finally going to get Michelin stars? Or they put out like a faux Michelin, like what restaurants would get Michelin stars. It always starts like, for some reason, like a weird culture war in the comments section. I guess everything kind of does at this point. But yeah. But yeah, people are very opinionated on whether Texas should or should not start playing the Michelin star game.
I think they should play the game.
Yeah.
I think they should. I don't see why not.
But look, tell me this. Would you say that that some of your favorite restaurants are difficult to make a reservation at currently?
Living in Austin, I would say that every restaurant's difficult to make a reservation at these days. So
you want to see what it's like once we start tossing Michelin stars to some of these restaurants?
Well, see, I have a jacket that I wear to dinners at Michelin star restaurants, and I sew a new star on every single time I go to one. Yeah. So I want to keep that up. I asked Sally before we went to London one time. I was like, I just want to knock out some Michelin star restaurants. And she looked at me and she's like, you're a douchebag. She goes, two, I don't like, do we even know if there's any there? And I looked it up. There's 80 Michelin star restaurants in London. And it was surprisingly easy to find some to eat at. Like, honestly, it was pretty simple. And we even just asked the hotel we were staying at, hey, can you make some reservations at these places? And they were like, yeah, we'll take care of it. So didn't even have to think about the reservation side of it.
Wow.
You have to find a concierge in your life who's just willing to hook it up.
Okay, maybe I have eaten at a Michelin star restaurant. I can't tell. I just Googled like the ones in Chicago. And I'm on the guide.michelin.com and it's giving me restaurants, but surely not all of these have been given Michelin stars, right?
Anyway, it's difficult to say.
I've been to Gilt Bar and Bavette's Bar and Buff in Chicago. I think I've actually been to RPM Steak in Chicago as well. Hey, speaking of, you think Sydney and Carmi are going to get their star on season 3 of
The Bear? I think they're going to narrowly miss out on something important.
Okay. All right.
And then it's just going to drive them even further.
Yeah.
But you know I got love for Carm.
I've eaten at the Purple Pig as well. So maybe I have eaten at Michelin star restaurants. If guide.michelin.com Chicago is showing me only restaurants that have been given Michelin stars.
Well, what if I told you?
It's not.
What if I told you that you could eat at a Michelin star restaurant? It just needs to be in space.
Oh.
Alchemist, the innovative boundary-pushing Copenhagen restaurant, only seats 52 diners per night for its immersive 50-course dining experience. That's simply too many courses for me, which is why there's a reported 10,000-person waiting list for a reservation. But Alchemist chef Rasmus Munk, his newest dining venture, is even more exclusive and even more jaw-dropping. Munk, who has earned 2 Michelin stars and a perennial top 5 place on the world's 50 best list, has announced that he's partnering with a pop-up ad on my screen. He's partnering with luxury space travel companies Space VIP and Space Perspective for what has been billed as the first stratospheric dining experience. The meal will be served on Space Perspective spaceship Neptune capsule, which will be limited to 6 guests. If you're already trying to guess how much this will cost, it's a lot. The meal and 6-hour journey on the spaceship Neptune will be around $495,000 per person.
Sick.
If I'm not doing caviar bumps off of like supermodels, then then I've done something wrong here.
I don't know how many of you are, how many supermodels are fitting in this little Neptune capsule. Is this where you're eating? Is this the thing that you're eating inside?
I think it is. And I have to say, I can't imagine an experience where like everything is at the Michelin star level of service, just everything.
With no kitchen or gravity.
Yeah. Like, I just don't see how this would work. Like, the fun of going to space, I think, would maybe trump any meal I'm eating up there.
I was, when I was reading this too, like, I thought about, well, I mean, one, the first thing I thought about was obviously you getting to wear your dinner jacket and sew another star on it after having been on this, this journey. Mm-hmm.
But then, or spacesuit in this case.
The second thing I thought about was like, you know how uncomfortable being on like an airplane is?
Yeah.
And so, and then you think about like any movie you've ever seen depicting the journey, the travel to space, like in a rocket ship or however you're getting up there. Like, it's an adventure. It's an exciting journey, sure. But like, once I'm up here, I'm getting in this little Neptune capsule and I'm my stum's just supposed to be ready for.
Yeah. How am I supposed to
for
know?
For a $500,000 meal?
Yeah. Like, how are you supposed to know if you're going to be in like the right headspace even to do this?
Like, the first course better be Dramamine.
I mean, this to me has the exact scenario of, I don't know, maybe like a submersible. That's going to go see the Titanic or something. Yeah. And suddenly you're like eating with some like some king from a country you can barely pronounce. Uh-huh. And then
this thing just pops.
Yeah. Like the chef looks at you and he's like, we might have a slight problem here. This is not great, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just picture this being a combination of the menu, the submersible and whatever else it is.
This has the menu written all over it. You're right. That's a great. Then it's a great, great mashup there.
I would watch. I think I would watch this if it was portrayed in a menu style film.
Yeah, they should do the menu too. Neptune.
Do they even have on here what they're going to be serving? Like, it says here that the first ever Michelin quality meal in space. They will go 100,000 feet above sea level. They will be wearing bespoke outfits made by luxury ski wear brand Ogier. I didn't know we were getting things are kind of changing for me right now.
Surely you get to keep that fit, right?
I hope that it's like a few different pieces, so you can wear like the jacket out to like a different restaurant after, like you get like a handkerchief or something.
Yeah, now that I know that you get some clothing and wearing that clothing out to other stuff will indicate to people your status as a space journeying $500,000 paying. Michelin star dining, capsule eating person.
What if I told you that?
Maybe my mind has changed.
As you reach the edges, this is the promise that they make at every single bar on New Year's Eve. Once you reach the edge of space, you'll get a champagne toast.
That
okay, all right, hold on. I get a free glass of champagne for a little toast. I'm in.
I'm sold. What's the chef's name? Rasmus Monk?
Yep.
That is dangerously close of an anagram to Elon Musk.
Yeah, and if you told me that a chef named Rasmus Monk killed a bunch of people in a spaceship, I'd be like, yeah, that checks out.
Rasmus Monk sounds like a chef from the menu too, Neptune.
If AI is listening, please write this script.
I will. I'll add. I got to do some more research about what this craft and what this capsule looks like because it does say that that the craft has an onboard mini kitchen,
like a heater,
like a microwave,
like an easy bake oven.
Yeah, I don't know. I just worry that like he's not. I'm worried he's going to be distracted and won't be able to put in the real work that he needs to put in to make this a good meal.
Yeah. When is this happening? When is this going down?
You know, I'm not sure.
Does this little doodad even exist yet?
It probably doesn't. It's like
I feel like it's yeah.
It probably doesn't.
I bet you this meal is out of this world, though.
Okay. Okay. Yep. I wonder if they'll be serving any low hanging fruit. Oh, got him! No, I'm just kidding, Randy. That was good.
I'm back to Michelin stars. I'm on the Michelin guide. I've done a little bit more digging. All of those places I mentioned in Chicago, they do not have Michelin stars.
Okay. Okay. Does Illinois have the Michelin?
Yes. For sure. And very famous restaurants that you've probably heard of, like Avec and Alinea are Michelin stars in Chicago. The one, speaking of the bear, where they filmed, the restaurant that they took over to shoot the Forks episode, mm-hmm. is called Ever. It's a Michelin starred restaurant. But then there's something else called Bib Gourmand, which I take it is potentially like a slightly lower accolade.
Okay.
Like not quite as hard to get.
Like, hey, we see you.
Yeah, right.
We see you.
Right. And so that's where like Guilt Bar comes in and Purple Pig and some other, Girl and the Goat is another famous one that I'm sure many Chicago travelers have eaten at. So
did you see the tweet thread recently? Not tweet thread. It was just a TikTok that went viral about a girl who was on vacation in Italy. And she was claiming that she stopped a restaurant from getting a Michelin star because she talked down about it in front of two people who she claims to be people who vote for Michelin stars. Huh. It was the most far-fetched story I've ever seen. And this girl like completely made up this plot line in her head that she did this. And it was like, I don't think you were solely responsible for this.
Yeah. That girl is now, you know, to get back in the good graces of all Michelin starred restaurants and prospective ones. She needs to get a guy at her Parisian marketing agency to rekindle a relationship with a secret Michelin star eater slash taster.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guy brings his now rekindled relationship girlfriend to the restaurant. But they know that she's there so they can give her full, complete, perfect service and food. And then that restaurant will get a Michelin star.
Is this like a movie that already exists, or are you just making this up in your head?
That's a plot of season 3 in Emily in Paris.
Okay. I watched that show, but because it is so mindless, I think I completely forgot about the actual plot line.
Yeah.
It's Amelie in Paris.
The way you're talking, you're either speaking nonsense or you're referring to something.
I met a food critic recently and she was very upfront. Like, I am not a Michelin star voter. I was like, but like, are you just saying that?
Yeah.
Are
you Did just you do the that? Thing where you like, well, but if I ask you if you are, you have to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought about it. I didn't want to press too hard but she was very upfront about it. She was like, no, before you ask me, I have nothing to do with Michelin stars. I was like, okay, it's fair. We might be seeing her on this very program at some point because I would love to have a food critic on and really get into it. Can we talk basics for a little bit?
Sure.
I don't know why. I've always loved just having basics in my closet and just like kind of loving having my basics. Like every time I put on something that I'm going to talk about in a little bit here, I just think to myself like, man, this is my favorite t-shirt for a reason because it's just plain, it's simple, it does its job, and it's always the first off the top of the stack. Well, I have a Substack that I very much enjoy called The Jones Report. And she recently wrote something called What Makes a Great Basic and just kind of went through everything and went through all of her basics. And it started making me think, you know what? I want to know about Barrett's basics. I want to know about everybody's basics. And she spelled out what a wardrobe basic would be. A plain t-shirt, a plain long sleeve t-shirt. If you're a dress wearer, a plain jersey dress. So I don't think we're wearing that. A plain vest top, a plain sweatshirt, and a plain cashmere or wool jumper. While I think those are all very good for basics, I do think you and I need to do some editing if we're actually going to talk about our basics, as we don't have any dresses, or not at least that I've seen you wear.
Sure.
I'm not going to judge you if you're walking around the house in like a James Peirce t-shirt dress.
Right.
Do you have anything that comes to mind that we can replace a dress with in this scenario?
I think the men's version would probably be like a button-down, like a button-up, like a button-up shirt.
Okay.
Is probably what would slide in there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. What about a plain vest top?
Well, is the author British?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
She must be.
She gives Brit.
Because a vest in that's how they refer to like a tank top.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't actually mean like every woman needs.
I was gonna
to
say
have a vest.
She's just rocking sweater vests and stuff. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, the Brits refer to just a tank top as a vest.
A wife pleaser.
I think would fall under the vest category.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you have any basics that you look at and you're just like, this is a basic, and if this gets ruined with a pen in the washer, I will go out and rebuy it immediately?
I mean, sort of. I guess like real answer is no. Like there's nothing that I just like absolutely swear by that I would replace immediately. Although I haven't ruined some of the things that I'm going to talk about yet. So maybe I would.
When you cross that bridge.
When I cross that bridge. But this is a good question. It's an interesting question because this made me think about like the qualifications of a basic. And Jones writes a little bit about what she looks for in a basic. And she talks about quality of fabric, quality of fit, layering, and then, you know, she asks this question, like, do you like it enough to wear it without any embellishments? But then what she does not mention is how much a basic should cost. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a question that I started thinking about too, because when I think of a basic, I think about something that you can wear over and over and over and over again. So for items like knitwear or sweatshirts, maybe price is you're less concerned with price because those are durable items that you don't wear all that much, and the care is pretty specific, that they generally are not like on your skin unless you're following our in list and you're only doing sweaters on skin now.
Obviously.
But then like for t-shirts, some of these t-shirts that we'll talk about here today, like they're expensive, and that they're expensive for a reason because of the details and the cut and the quality. But at the same time, sometimes that like almost pulls them out of being basics for me because I don't want to ruin them and I don't want to sweat constantly in them and I don't want them to be hitting the laundry once a week. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I feel by that nature, like I don't know if I can qualify them as a basic.
For me,
because like you should be able to do that with a basic.
I am trying my best to remove any price out of it, because if it's something that's truly basic and it's something that I wear a lot because it goes, you're basic. if it's something that I wear a lot because it goes with everything, I try to just start pulling the cost per wear card and just be like, I'm getting this down. And the reason it's a basic is because it's close to perfect for the scenario that I need. I think I've created a separation in my brain with what I would consider be my basics versus what would be something that I'm more willing to wear out and be in public, like be seen in, because of having a kid, because of having children.
Yeah.
Like my basics are now the things that I'm putting on and willing to get dirty around the house, right, and not the things that I'm like, no, I got to save this.
Yeah.
Like I got a deep discount Bodhi tea, and the other day I came home and needed to give a bottle. And I was like, well, I'm taking this off.
Right.
I don't feel like dealing with it.
Right.
And like, there's just certain things where I'm like, I'm not willing to sacrifice this, or I'm not willing to, washed this last week and I probably wash this once every 5 wears. So I don't want to wash this again. And so like, it's really made a line in the sand for me in terms of determining what is a basic for me and what is something that I'm like, oh, hold on.
Right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Should we start with t-shirts?
Let's start with t-shirts. Yeah.
Okay.
People, this is a common, very common question for us as well. I always get asked this. I always have, as long as I've been doing podcasts or writing style columns. So it's always a good one to revisit. You know, there's not really a limit on how frequently we do. Mm-hmm. So let's start with yours, because I'm not sure you've ever talked about this.
I probably haven't. I got several of these in the mail a couple years ago, maybe last year. Maybe later the year before. It's the original tee from AYR, or Air, as it's actually pronounced. And these t-shirts for me have become my, I don't know what to wear today, but I'm probably going to put on a sweater on top of something. And this is going to be the first thing that touches my body in the morning. I'm going to get out of the shower. I'm going to toss one of these on. It's very likely that I will wear it to work. If I put it on, I'll probably just put like a sweater or a sweatshirt over it. But it's just a clean, comfortable, well-fitting t-shirt that has just served me really well. And they've also held up well for me, which is good. Like a major issue for my old tees that were my staples were like the J. Crew tees, mm-hmm, that I think we all had at some point.
Yep.
Those didn't hold up for me as well. And where these have become a staple, a basic for me, because they've held up so well and because they're nondescript. Like the colors that I have of them are pretty much black, white, and tan. And so I don't even think you can get some of the colors that I have in here anymore because they're just done. Like, they're just not even on here. But AYR, or Air, I'm just pronouncing it both ways at this point.
You love to say three-letter brands as their letters rather than the pronunciation of those three letters together.
I'm just saying it. I'm just saying things how they're supposed to be said and not how the world has accepted that they've been said now.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, it's not a shirt that if I ruin it, I'm just going to probably operate and say, well, it just has a stain on it now.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's never going to be something that I wear out as a standalone t-shirt unless it's like a really hot day or if I know I'm going to peel the top off. And so it's just become kind of in the rotation. That being said, I do think the price for me is a little prohibitive because $68 for a t-shirt is a good amount of money.
Yeah.
And so would I give this the nod if they didn't hold up as well? Probably not. But because I've been able to wash them without having to think about it so many times and they still fit the exact same way, I can put faith in knowing that if someone buys them, they're going to be able to have the same experience. So it's the original tee. And we'll put all these links to all these basics in our actual newsletter this week.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So I'll mention this is one that I've talked about before. This is the classic knit midweight crew from Imogen and Willie. I only have this kind of natural kind of creamy ivory white color. I've not tried it in any of the other colors, but I really like this one particularly because I mentioned, like, you know, what's more classic or basic than a white t-shirt? I like that this one kind of doesn't show sweat and dirt and all that type of stuff as quickly and as easily.
I grab the tan t-shirts from the stack before I grab my white t-shirts at this point because, like, I just don't feel as bad ruining them or getting stuff on them.
But I need to get back to store and kind of try on some of their other colors and maybe experiment with a couple of their other tee styles because I think they're a pretty traditional and classic and timeless fit. On the kind of what am I wearing right now, that would be, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a segment later, but right now, and we've discussed this a little bit, but like, I need a short tee. I need the jacket that I wore out this morning and most of my other jackets are just like, they hit just a little bit below my waistline. And so anything that's kind of creeping down on towards like the crotch region just looks kind of silly poking out of a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one is the cropped tee from Uniform LA, and this is a brand that has built itself on basics. The founder, the creative director, Pat, made a couple of appearances on Club Cool, and he was just like ripping through t-shirts left and right at the beginning, and it was like hard for me to recommend them because they were constantly sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a good thing for me. These are in stock. He's got four colors of these, more on the way. And the solid white one I wore probably three times a week last summer because it looked great with linen pants. It looked great under a lightweight jacket. And so I'm looking forward to picking more of these up as well.
Well, so it's interesting you talk about the length because the next thing we're going to talk about is the long sleeve shirt. And the reason I didn't include my other t-shirts that I wear all the time in the first basic is because they're too long. I don't feel like I can layer well on top of them because it's always going to be sticking out. And if it's not sticking out and I don't have it tucked in, it looks like there's another layer of like just body underneath me because it just bunches up under things. And that's why I can only really recommend the long sleeve lazy t-shirt from Stussy. I bought these last year in the beginning of the year and I've been wearing them almost nonstop ever since. The long sleeve has really become my favorite shirt overall. I love wearing it. I love the weight of it. I love everything about it. Unfortunately, what they have on their site right now is a little baggier and a little less thick.
Okay.
They don't have the one that I used to wear. Mm. And I think they got rid of them. I think the main reason they got rid of the ones that I have is because there's exactly zero branding on it. And I think Stussy realized like we should probably not be selling things without branding on it just because our brand is so strong right now. But after I bought them, they really started slowly taking them off the website. But the long sleeve garment dyed Stussy tee has become like my favorite thing in the world. When I got the armpit Botox, a major reason that I got it was because I was sweating through these shirts so aggressively that I didn't want to ruin them. And I just was tired of it. And so I was like, I have to figure this out some way. And it's become my number one shirt.
The one of the issues with a brand such as Stussy is that because they are so drop focused and just like seasonal to such a degree, they like almost don't have any core products.
It sucks.
And so that it's not even like that garment dyed one with no branding may have just been last fall's or last spring's, and then they put branding on it this season, and it's like, so it feels totally different. But it's not like they don't just, yeah, for a lot of their stuff, they don't just have it, and they don't just like, they're not just continuing to crank out new colors that are identical season after season after season. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So sometimes that, you know, you get, I mean, same with ALD. So, they've gotten a little bit better about that with their uniform and kind of core programs that they seem to be keeping in stock more regularly now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the drawback to a brand that's so seasonal and so drop based.
And, Ame's shirts are not the same that they used to be 4 years ago. The t-shirts are no longer produced where they were produced, and they're just not the same quality. I'm not anti them, but like knowing what we used to have versus what they have now,
Did you get one from this season?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Are they back?
I don't know, but I bought one last No, not last fall, because I didn't buy anything from them last fall, actually. So last spring.
Yeah, it was no Coptober.
It was, yeah, it was no Spend November. That's right. And no Spender. Yeah. I bought one last spring and I liked it because it seemed like they had shortened them. But I think it was still made in Canada. And now I've seen reports on like Reddit or wherever that the t-shirts are made in Vietnam instead of Canada.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Canadian version is far superior for what I liked. And yeah, part of what I stopped liking in that little lapse, and I think there's probably been enough lapse now where I could go buy a new one and have a different take on it. But when I bought it and stopped buying them, the length was different. They were a little longer and they were just thinner. And I liked the thickness of the shirt. I like a thick t-shirt.
Well, if you liked the Stussy tee, but now you think it's a little bit too long and you don't want any branding, allow me to pitch you on one that costs twice the price, but kind of fits your bill.
Okay.
So,
I love this shirt.
This is a t-shirt. I have two colorways of the long sleeve version, and I have, I think, almost every single one that they've put out in the short sleeve. And this, it's super similar to the uniform one that I posted in the short sleeve. The difference is it is garment dyed. It does have that washed out look. And like your Stussy one, it's got like the inside out flipped seams. Mm-hmm. And this is another, like, you know, when you ask me the question, what are items that if I ruined, I would go out and repurchase immediately. Even though I kind of hesitated on that, these are the three t-shirts that I think about. The uniform LA cropped, and then the John Elliott reverse cropped in short sleeve and long sleeve, because these really have become my go-to. Like if I'm getting dressed quickly or I know I'm going to be layering, it's just like I grab one of those t-shirts.
I have envy whenever I see you in this t-shirt.
The length is perfect, and I like those little details, like the flip seams and the washed out colors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love a long sleeve tee. A long sleeve tee is my favorite of the basics. It's absolutely where I gravitate the most to. We found ourselves at the dress wear portion of this, which I think we can just sub in our button downs.
Yeah. Do you have a go-to button down?
I didn't used to. And then I was sent this one for free from our friends over at Air. Okay. And it's become something that I can very much hang my hat on. It is called the Performance Merino Long Sleeve in the Everyday in Cool Wool. And this shirt, I did a call with some friends at Air, and they gave me a gift certificate afterward and for doing the call. They wanted to quiz me on my shopping habits as a guy and do that kind of thing. So 2 years ago, I did it. And this was not something that I bought with the gift card, but one of the people that I was meeting with was like, "Will, you will love this shirt. It's a button-down shirt." The second he said button-down, I was like, "Well, I don't really wear button-downs that much, and I try not to." And he was like, "This cool wool shirt." He's like, "I know I said it's wool, so it sounds like it's going to be really heavy. It's not heavy at all. It's a really thin shirt. It's a shirt that if you pack it in a suitcase, it shakes out incredibly well if you take it out of that suitcase and just put it in the closet on vacation.
Okay.
And it's a shirt that you can also layer on top of a t-shirt, or you can just wear with nothing under it and tuck in. And it's just it's become a great shirt for me, mainly just because it's so versatile and because it's not something that I feel like I have to get dry cleaned. I believe it's even machine washable, but I have not gone that far yet. I don't really want to do
incredibly that. Lightweight machine washable 100% minor fools.
There you go.
First sentence right there.
There you go. Yeah. So like it's a hefty price. It's $195 for a staple, but it's such a easy shirt to mix into my rotation that there's no shortage of times that I can deploy it and feel like I never feel like I'm selling myself short when I put it on. Yep. I know that if I wear it to a dinner, it's going to look pretty good. And I know that if I wear it casually, I'm going to be comfortable and I'm not going to have too many worries about it just because it's a pretty stress-free shirt. And it doesn't wrinkle.
Yeah. I don't have an answer for this one. I know I was the one that said we should do button-up shirts, but I feel like that's what people talk about. That's what guys talk about is like their go-to button-ups.
I don't have anything remotely close.
I wear, but button-ups have just suffered in my closet. Like ever since the pandemic, I just like, I'm way more likely to wear a sweatshirt or a crew neck or a t-shirt that I really like, or they've just kind of, you know, I've still got button-ups that I really like, but they're usually kind of, I think they're now I typically gravitate towards ones that are that have a little bit more of something to say.
Like it's not a basic.
It's not a basic. And even for stuff that is more basic, I feel like I'm just like gravitating towards brands and trying out new stuff. So
it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like impossible to find a good button down. And that's the only thing remotely close to a staple that I could do. I don't have any staple wife pleasers.
No, I like an Urban Outfitters one. That's where I got my wife pleaser. I've got two Urban Outfitters ones. They both do the job, but they seem to have a little bit more. There's just something slightly better than like your classic Hanes ones.
If I put on a Hanes one right now and like looked at myself in the mirror, I'd be disgusted with what I saw in the mirror. Like it just would not be pleasing. Just wouldn't be good.
Oh man. But yeah, like this is, I don't know what we would replace the vest top.
No.
I think we just skip it. Let's move on to
let's do sweatshirts.
Something that's more in our wheelhouse with sweatshirts.
Well, Randy, get the bell ready because I'm going to talk about a sweatshirt that has really treated me very well. Barrett convinced me to buy it. It was the Ameleon Door heavyweight uniform hoodie in gray. You noted to me when we were looking at this online, you noted how much thicker it was than their normal products.
Super heavyweight, like 22
and
ounces.
Yeah. Immediately, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that. And it's truly the only hooded sweatshirt that I actually like need in life. I am wearing a hooded sweatshirt now that I really enjoy. But if I didn't have this, I would be totally fine wearing this every single day that I needed a hoodie. Like, it's just the perfect sweatshirt for me.
Yeah. I actually went with ALD as well for this, and I went with the crew neck, and I don't own this one, but when I've got one of the Unisphere ones that's not really in a basic color. It's kind of a light green, but when I think about, I was also trying to go for these answers for these basics. I was trying to go with stuff that I legitimately have in my closet and wear, rather than like something that I might point somebody else towards. But I think that the fit of ALD's crews is really, really good. They're like, they're somewhere in between kind of classic, but modern and boxy. They're not too cropped. They're not too long. You can kind of fold up the waistband if you like. And so I just, for these basic colors that we're talking about, black, navy, and kind of an oatmeal gray, like it's kind of hard to go wrong with this. And I think that, they're certainly not cheap. You can spend less, but I think it's a nice, easy kind of quality to value play.
Like,
if you're looking for an easy, quick answer, it's hard to go wrong.
Like when it comes to this stuff, it's always the basics are always the things that I just grab to after getting out of the shower, or if I'm just going to do something around the house. And like if I have something that's a little nicer, but I'm still willing to wear it around the house a lot, like one of those ALD crews, I just don't worry. I try not to worry about it because that's why I have it. I have it so I can feel good when I'm around the house, not just when I go out. And so I try not to hang up too much on it. And like the ALD stuff, we've talked about their knits before, and I'm probably going to talk about them in a second, but like they seem to last so long that I think they are worth the price. And so we're going down to sweaters or wool jumpers now. And a few years ago, I think this was their 2019
fall 19
teen campaign.
Yeah. Wow.
I bought a black cashmere sweater from it. I've been wearing it ever since. The only time that I get it cleaned like once every 6 months, and it comes back looking good as new. And I've been happy with it. No holes in it. It's just been a great sweater for me.
Look at this guy, pre-pandy, just enjoying life. Mm-hmm, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. know what's about to hit him.
I like can almost, this sounds, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say the lamest thing I've ever said on this
what's
podcast.
That?
When you see like old lookbook photos, like it kind of takes me back a little bit being like, oh man, I wanted that so bad.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah.
Like I just wanted that, these sweaters so bad in every color.
This is a brand that I have a few things from, and everything I've ever like touched or felt or put on from them is just like kind of fits amazingly. This is the Arlie ribbed merino sweater. This one's in a dark brown, which is awesome. I have it in a classic black. It's not cashmere, so it's not going to be as soft or as light as some other knits, like the ones that you just pulled up, Will. But I love how heavy it is because this is one of those things where you pick it up and you're like, okay, I know why this is the price that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels amazing. The ribbed texture is I think something really cool and additive. Aurelie makes amazing sweaters. They've got cashmere if you want to spend even more money, but, if you're not familiar with the brand, look out for this stuff on sale because it's really, really nice. And the fit is awesome.
I had a scenario where my wife bought me a sweater from Frame. She got it at a discount. The one that I have up right now is $498. It's a cashmere sweater from Frame. And she bought it for like $125 on a deep discount. And so she was like, yeah, I got this sweater for you. It's $125. And I was like, oh, awesome. And I ended up losing it when we were on vacation. I left it at a restaurant that could only be reached by boat. And I've thought about it ever since. It was a thinner sweater, a lighter.
Have you confirmed that you lost it? Or you just,
No, I knew the second we pulled away. The second we pulled away and we went to a different cove.
Oh, this was Italy?
We were in Italy, yeah. The second we pulled away, I was like, I looked around and I was like, I don't have my sweater. And I definitely had a couple drinks at this meal and shot up out of my chair. I was like, let's get back on the boat. And suddenly I lost it. But like, it's evaded me ever since. I just want to get it back. It was like the best light basic sweater I've ever had. And I don't think I realized what I had at the time because I didn't know I was wearing a $500 sweater. I thought I was wearing a $125 sweater.
Yeah.
And so I didn't care for it with the care that you need to have when you have a nice sweater.
Right.
Instead, I was just operating like, oh, it doesn't matter. I can get some Mediterranean water on this. Like, whatever. Like, no, Will. Like, just pack something else that day. You don't even need a sweater. You're in Italy in the middle of summer. You're going to be fine. But Frame, they do have really good discounts, not on their website usually, but mainly at like Nordstrom or places like that.
Yeah.
And it's always been very easy for me to go back to that and think like, yeah, that is probably the best basic sweater I've ever had.
I look at that cashmere crew from Frame probably every season, and they do occasionally run discounts on their website. It looks nice. I felt it at the store here in Austin on South Congress. The issue has been I wait and I wait and I wait, and by the time the price is like, around where I want to, you know, where I want to grab it, they've got like the bright orange and the chartreuse left. Mm-hmm. So
I have room in my closet for one pop of color sweater. I just don't currently have that.
Yeah.
Can we talk crop t-shirts real quick?
Yeah.
This has been something that's been bubbling up for a while now, and it's just obviously not something that's in my rotation, but I'm not going to lie, Barrett. I think you could do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, there's a bunch of stuff that pops up, and you know, you kind of work your way around it. Maybe you start to think about it a little bit, and then Father Time just, you know, he rings you in your ears, and he says, "Hey, you're almost 40, you idiot.
Why are you showing belly button at brunch?"
So this is from the New York Post, who is about 1 year behind the New York Times in covering this trend.
Yep.
And but it's become slightly different because this guy that they feature wearing his Everlast crop, I feel very comfortable calling this man a bro.
Yeah. Like, this is not some, like, he's not pushing the envelope when it comes to fashion. This guy's just a bro wearing an Everlast crop top.
To show off, and with the sleeves cut off, to show off the hard work that he's been putting in the gym. You know, he's got that, and he calls himself a former athlete.
I can feel his ears tingling from his pre-workout right now.
And he's got that, like, you can tell that he, like, probably played college sports.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if he didn't, he lived in the fraternity gym.
That's right. So, but I linked to the New York Times article from last summer, and I think about 2 years ago is when Phil and I, on one of the last episodes of Club Cool ever, we covered this New York TikToker named Cody James. And he's featured in this article, so I'm going to pull him up. He's this one right here. He's got all the Harry Styles tattoos, and he's wearing a little crop wife blazer. And we pulled him up because he was the creator of the original TikTok that went viral, that was all about, like, this is a weekend in the life of a 26-year-old living in New York.
That was him?
Yes.
That recently came across my timeline.
That unironically, but did you ever see the unironic one?
I think I did.
The original one where he spends a minute and a half going through what he did on the weekend, and it is a fever dream. You could not be, like, more, like, annoyingly hipster and sceney if you tried. It was insane.
I remember this one, yeah.
Anyway, Cody, you're getting more shine on the podcast. Congratulations. But it was one of the things that was very notable about him is that every t-shirt he wore in that video what looked about like this.
Here's the thing. If I had a chiseled midsection, I probably would be wearing crop shirts and not worrying about it.
Well,
but I'm at the point where, like, unless I'm wearing an open button down shirt, I'm not showing any midriff.
And that's what I'm saying about like the age thing again. This is such a young guy's play. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, hell yeah.
Oh,
like, if you're this dude going to the bar at 3 p.m. for like a Saturday of day drinking and you've been
do it
and you look this cut, yeah, go for it, man. Like, I like it. I like that dudes can show some skin now. You know, that's why we're all so into the crochet and the mesh, because it feels, we want to feel sexy too, right? Yeah. Like, it's kind of nice to show a little skin. So this is like a, yeah, young dudes.
If you're young, if you're in shape, please do this for us.
Also, even if you're not in shape, I've seen some, you know.
You know, like, what? Yeah, screw
just
it.
Fuck it.
Screw it.
Do it.
Screw it.
The big boys can show a little skin too.
Yeah, it actually.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, like it might be more endearing. Like, oh shit, look at the body positivity on this king over here.
Yeah, like here's, let me see. There was a bigger, yeah, this guy right here, you know? He's just letting that freak flag fly.
Oh, dude, he's letting it fly. He's not worried about the hair on his belly at all.
Nah.
See, that's inspiring stuff. These people are more comfortable in their skin than I am. I need to get more comfortable. This is an indictment on myself.
So while I don't think you or me or most of our listeners are going to be attempting the full-on men's cropped t-shirt anytime soon, it did, you know, we touched on it on our basics, but there is definitely like a cropped tee thing happening. And I feel like the most modest versions of these are basically t-shirts that hit right at your belt line. And there are, I'm going to pull up a couple here in a second if I can get my mouse to work. There it goes. That are kind of like, even more than the John Elliott or the Stussy tees, are really emphasizing kind of like tiny tee, big pants type thing. And so I've got a couple, I think both of these that I'm about to talk about are kind of like Instagram brands. That's definitely where I learned about them, is from Instagram targeting. But this is a brand that does some pretty cool stuff called California Arts. I'm like, look at this t-shirt. Like it's just barely brushing that belt line.
I'm okay with that. Like I, as long as, if I'm standing stationary and I have my arms down, I'm okay with a t-shirt that barely touches the belt line.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm standing stationary and you can see my belly button, then right. We have an issue.
And that's it. Yes.
But like, I actually find this to be a very comfortable look and a good look, because we're in, you know, the era of trousers right now.
Yes. Higher waisted stuff.
And so like
pants. Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier to wear something like this when the pants are feeling a little more up there.
Totally.
And when you're proud of your pants.
Yeah. Here's another one of these brands that I just get targeted with on Instagram, but I know they've got some popularity as well. It's called Pool House. This is their super crop tee, which again, very similar fit to the last one I showed, but just maybe a little bit boxier. But yeah, this is where I think you can kind of pull this off is with a t-shirt that is just cropped, but not necessarily a crop top.
Just like boxy.
Yeah.
Like a square.
And then the last thing that this made me think of is Justin Theroux, who he hasn't really been like a style icon last, you know, 4 years or so, but late 2010s, like this dude was it. You know, he had the best skinny jeans, the best Chelsea boots, the best, just, you know, always riding cool bikes and motorcycles and stuff like that. And he famously, you know, I think because GQ or whoever would ask him about this, but he crops, or he tailors, I should say, rather. It's not just cutting them off. He is taking all, he takes all of his t-shirts to the tailor and gets them to fit like this.
I'm okay with this. See, my issue in life is that I've been between a medium and a large pretty much my entire life. Like my entire adult life, I've never known what to do. And so a lot of the time, if I don't know what to do, I just end up going large because I don't want something to be too small. I'd rather have it be a little baggier. I have more cases to wear it then. And so many times it's just a length thing. And so I've started cutting off the bottoms of t-shirts that I don't care as much about. But like, there is part of me that's like, yeah, maybe I should just start ordering larges and getting them cropped up a few inches.
Yeah.
It would make my life a lot easier. The t-shirts that I've done myself that just have the raw edge now, like they feel more comfortable and I'm much more confident in them when I'm wearing them as opposed to before. Maybe he's got something here.
It's also just a healthy reminder that if you ever see a celebrity looking unbelievable in something as simple as a t-shirt, it's probably because they've done something to it.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair. Well, I don't think I'm going to be showing any midriff too much this summer, but I will be showing nipples still. I'm still okay the nipple.
Good. We're still freeing the nipple.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a while, but I just want to talk about a random product that I've fallen absolutely in love with, Barrett. Our friends over at Goop, you might have heard of them because Gwyneth Paltrow's just unhinged. They have put out something
she's spearheading the war on dill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's anti-Dill, so we're anti her temporarily. But oh my God, Barrett. So I've had scalp issues for the last 5 years.
Okay.
I get a buildup on my scalp. I don't know really. I kind of know what it is, but I don't really have anything that's, you know, the perfect solution for it. And so my beautiful wife always tries to buy me things to try to see if we can fix this. She recently has bought me this Himalayan salt shampoo or a scrub shampoo from Goop. And Barrett, when I tell you this is the most luxurious product I've ever used, I don't think I'm making some kind of grand claim here. This stuff, if you scroll down, I want to eat this stuff. I want to sit there with some graham crackers and dip them into this stuff and just eat it. Because the second it touches your scalp, it is the foamiest, most soft, like silky, velvety, whatever soft thing you want. The second it touches your hair, it just starts foaming and it's just beautiful. What, like...
Look at Gwen here enjoying it.
She's very much enjoying it.
Everything showers have leveled up.
This is the number one everything shower product that I use at this point. I've recently downgraded showers. We've moved.
Yeah, no longer have a steam shower.
I'm
correct?
No longer doing double barrel steam showers yeah. every day. Now we have terrible water pressure, and 90% of my shower is done using the hand shower, and I just do that on myself because we just have no water pressure. And this has been the saving grace in my showers these days. Do you have any spa products that you just like ride for right now?
No.
let me implore you to go please buy some of this. Okay. If you need any scalp treatment, if you're looking for any bougie shampoo. I don't know why, but this stuff has been just incredible. I posted about it on Sunday Scary's Instagram, and sure enough, my old boss... is also obsessed with it, and like he doesn't get obsessed with things lightly. And so when I heard that he was obsessed with it, I was like, okay, I've made a good call here. Please, if you need some scalp help, go cop this. I also have a review of something else I've purchased recently, Barrett.
Okay, I've got spa products that I like, but I've covered them recently. We've talked about the Kevin Murphy hair stuff. Mm-hmm. I've talked about my Ordinary hyaluronic acid serum. So I don't have anything new.
I need you to G-tox.
That's all I mean. I'm not.
Will you G-tox with me?
Yeah. I will try some G-tox.
Maybe I'll put a scoop in a little. Maybe I'll get a little ice cream scoop and put some in a to-go container for you.
I can bring you a little, a little travel size, little jar thing.
Perfect.
Yeah, and you can let me try it out.
It's just, there's something about it. Last week I talked about ordering some Todd Snyder shorts. I'm wearing them currently and I really, really like them.
You've not stood up today. Okay. All right.
So these are 5-inch inseam.
Yeah.
They don't hit like totally 5-inch. They seem baggier than the normal 5-inch inseam shorts.
They don't seem as short as some other 5-inch.
You might want to stand on the chair so the folks
can
see.
They'll be okay. We recently talked about them in the menswear matrix, and I have a pair of shorts from them that I stole from your wish list last year.
Right.
That do fit very swimsuity, or like just a little tighter, a little more very hot weather. And these don't fit like that. They're a little baggier. They're a little nicer. They've got the e-waist. They're not out of the running for the Masters.
These do have an e-waist.
These do have an e-waist.
Oh, interesting.
These do have an e-waist and belt loops in case you want to just get
belt
wild
loops
with it.
And the elastic waist.
So I think I really enjoy these shorts right now.
All
right. I'm not giving them like the full time seal of approval, but for right now, they've got some recency bias and I'll be wearing them around. Should we do some articles of interest?
Let's go to some articles of interest.
Let's blast these out real quick. The first one I want to talk about is Martini Swans. I'm not familiar with Nine Orchard, the hotel in New York.
Nor am I.
But a tweet recently went up about how they are serving their martinis in giant swans.
Yeah, and so what I think's happening here, and for those of you on YouTube, you'll be able to see what I'm pulling up here as well. It's really like you kind of get your own personal martini cart.
You do.
And that's what comes in the giant golden swan. I don't think you're picking up the swan to drink your martini.
No. You are simply getting a swan delivered to your table with all the accoutrements that you could ever need in order to have a martini. I've looked up their bar menu and found this on the menu because I was like, certainly they don't do this for every martini. And they're doing something that I think I'm a big fan of moving forward. And they're doing large format martinis.
Yeah.
They have martini service that serves 3 to 5 people. It's $110, and I assume that this is what arrives in these giant metallic swans here.
I think you're right.
But it gives you vermouth secco, lemon peels, pickled onions, olives, and olive brine. And then they have featured gins. You can either do Ford's London Dry. You can do featured vodka, which is Reka. Or you can do their premium gin and premium vodka, which are Sipsmith London Dry for $10 extra or Ketel One for $10 extra on the vodka front. I think I'd be okay with this. Are we mixing them ourselves? Are they mixing them for us?
Surely, for the price, they're coming around and making the martini for you?
You would assume they would make it.
You don't have to shake your own martini.
I can't imagine that this would be like a scenario where it's like, you know when you go to a restaurant, you order like a bottle of champagne or Prosecco for brunch and they give you like the different juices.
Right,
you can make your
right.
That's easy.
That's combining two liquids. That's it. You're pouring one liquid and then you're splashing the other one. Let me ask you this. Where do you stand on like, if you're ordering a martini or if you're making one at home, how good do you want your liquor to be? Like how top shelf do you think the liquor should be for a cocktail like that?
Good.
It should be good, right?
Yeah.
Like you're upcharging me $10 for Ketel One?
Yeah. If you're bringing it out in this, I don't think you have, I think you just got to say, hey, here are your choices for gins and here are your choices for vodka.
Like I love Ketel One is a great vodka, but that's the premium? That should just be the featured and then give me something crazy for premium, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're essentially paying, if you do this and you just do the regular, stock gin or vodka, you're paying $24 if you got a group of five for one martini. In New York, that feels like what it would probably cost no matter what to get a martini at a hotel bar in New York, unfortunately. But
it does seem a little high.
It seems a little fun for the...
But definitely fun to get the Swan.
Yeah. I think I want to get the Swan at some point. I'm okay with large format or cocky ways to serve cocktails at this point.
Yeah. This is a fun thing. This would be fun to do. And plus you can pair it with $160 caviar service, which who doesn't love that?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously you have to get the caviar on top.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to get the Swan.
I get shocked every time I see caviar in menus at restaurants. I'm like, who walked into this restaurant? It's like, you know what? Let's triple our bill tonight. I just never get it.
But I do hope that they are, I hope the service is top notch and that they are coming around making your martinis for you, but who knows?
If anyone's there, please let us know who's making these martinis for you.
Yeah.
Apparently, China's young people are dressing pretty goblin mode.
Yeah, they're getting gross with it.
Yeah, what's up with this? I think I'd be more okay with them dressing like in pajama pants and stuff to work if they weren't talking about it. If they were just doing it, I'd be like, damn, that's some high fashion grunge stuff.
Yeah.
But because they're talking about like, no, I go to work and I wear my slippers and my pajama pants and I don't really care. Like, I almost feel like it just kind of ruins the entire vibe for me.
This column, which we're referencing, is in the New York Times. It's titled Furry Slippers and Sweatpants, Young Chinese Embrace Gross Outfits at Work. And honestly, reading through this, I'm far more fascinated by just like the things that are like the Chinese culture of it all, like that's happening, like where the government is kind of angry at young people for quote unquote lying flat, essentially not being ambitious and not striving for greater things and for greater success.
They're just dressing gross instead.
And this is their kind of quiet protest towards some of the backlash of essentially not quiet quitting, but kind of in the same lane, right?
Yeah.
Where they're just like, they're just fine with their regular jobs, and they're tired of having to dress up and look sharp for them. So they're wearing furry slippers and giant coats over sweatpants and shift dresses with giant puffers, and it's what they're doing.
I'll say it. We have someone in our office complex who walks into their office every single day who dresses like this. And every single day that I see him do it, I think to myself, why do you dress like this in public?
Well, and that's the thing. Like my inclination is to be like, you shouldn't do this at work, but the culture is not one-to-one. And so I feel even like weird kind of stepping into that territory.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what these, what these people are saying with this move here.
I need the American dude across the way to start dressing a little bit better.
But if I had a company and you showed up like this, like you'd probably be coming into my office and I'd say, what's going on?
Yeah. I think I would sit you down and be like, so is this a thing? Like, are you a part of something that's larger here? Are you is dressing like this very popular right now and I'm totally missing it?
Because
what it is, if that is part of the culture, then fine.
Yeah. Are you getting TikToks off?
Yeah. Like, are you getting clout for this online, young man?
Yeah. They're all dressing like, oh, I just pulled an all-nighter studying for my final.
Yeah. Yeah. Major showing up to your final after leaving directly from the library vibes.
I do kind of have, there's one of the people that they interviewed, one of the young people, says that one of the reasons that she does this is because she has an hour long commute. She just doesn't have time to like get ready and like look nice. And it did make me think of on the mornings when I do maybe sleep through my alarm or I don't get up early enough to like fully get cleaned up or showered. Like I do kind of have a go-to outfit, and it's a pair of Nike ACG pants, Salomon sneakers, a t-shirt and a hat. And that is my gross outfit.
Yeah, my gross outfit at this point would be this gross pair of Lulu joggers that I have. My Sunday Scaries, I have a Sunday Scaries sweatshirt that I'll toss on top. And I think it gives like, hey, I might have just gone to a yoga class, but it definitely shouldn't because I did nothing of the sort. Like I went into my thing and decided to get dressed as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet is currently playing Bob Dylan in a biopic.
Is he? I have no idea about this because it's definitely not the only thing that's on my Instagram algorithm right now.
I saw a tweet the other day that just said, man, he just doesn't have it. And I think I agree. Like
he just doesn't have it.
I don't think he has it, dude.
With the Timmy C doesn't have like the it or doesn't have Bob Dylan.
Doesn't have Bob Dylan.
Okay. Right.
Like I don't think he's Bob Dylan-y enough. I think this might be a miss on the casting front.
Do you think that it is because your image of Bob Dylan is like older Bob Dylan?
Maybe. It's possible.
Where he's like pretty grizzled and like...
I'm not proud of what I'm about to say.
Kind of 5 o'clock shadowy.
I'm just not much of a Bob Dylan guy.
Okay.
He had a real good run with the Dead. And I feel like I should like him more, but he's never been someone that I've... taken a full dive into. And so my exposure to him is really just when news stories pop up or when a song gets put on random. And so I've just never really bought into Bob Dylan, and seeing babyface Timothy Chalamet doing it. Like, I just want to be like, I don't know if you're tough enough to be Bob Dylan.
Yeah. I think
you're shaped like him.
I hear what you're saying. Definitely some of the stuff that I've seen on Instagram has kind of gave me that sense of kind of like, wonder what this is going to be like with him playing Bob Dylan.
I tried to Google some other
because he is
actors.
So kind of fresh faced and that type of thing.
He doesn't look like he smokes a bunch of cigarettes or anything, and I assume Bob Dylan did at that point. Like I went on and I tried to search through like a bunch of like male actors in their 20s to see who I could pull that could feasibly play this role instead of Chalamet.
Yeah,
it didn't yield much.
Yeah,
the closest I got was Mike Wheeler.
Okay.
And like, I don't think he's got it either. Like he looks way too young to do this, and he doesn't look grizzled enough at all.
By Mike Wheeler, do you mean is that the name of his character on Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe is the
correct. Yeah. That's the only person that I was like, you know what? Maybe he could do it. But like, I don't think Mike Wheeler's got it in him to be Bob Dylan.
I'm dying. Okay. Here's what Timmy's got to be doing an accent for this, right? He's got to be doing some weird Bob Dylan voice.
See, and it might be terrible. Like, it might just be horrible. Is he going to be doing the singing? He's not going to be doing the singing in this.
Is there going to be singing?
I hope so, but I also hope not.
Yeah.
I'll put this out there. Same person that should have done Wonka, Jeremy Allen White.
He could have probably done it.
Who do you think he should have done?
Wonka, because everyone says he looks like Gene Wilder.
He would have been great in Wonka. I don't think Jeremy Allen White's too shred. He's too thick,
especially after the wrestling
in like movie. A good way. Yeah, like he's too jacked to be Bob Dylan. You need that wiry little dude.
This is not a movie that I ever saw, but some of this is making me think of Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen Brothers film starring Oscar Isaac, and Isaac is too old to play an older Bob Dylan, but like. This is just more of like the Dylan-y vibe that I have in my mind. Now, again, I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan either. I don't know the history. I don't know what he was like, but definitely somebody with a little bit more gravitas and kind of just a little more rugged, I feel like.
Just bad boy.
Yeah.
Like a little more bad boy. Like Chalamet's, you know, we love our baby girls around here. But he's just not gritty enough for me to do this role. I want him to prove me wrong, though. I'm more than willing to be proven wrong, is what I'm saying.
Here's young Bob Dylan, and I guess I kind of see it.
You know who I think would do perfectly for this if he wasn't just mega canceled? Ezra Miller. He looks a lot like him.
Yeah. For sure.
Could Keoghan have put on an accent and done this? Or is he too jacked at this point?
I see the Timmy C.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we just need some, we need some after effects put on him.
It's always, whenever you see, just think about like when the stills started coming out from like the Barbie set. Mm-hmm. And then you see the movie, right? Like it, the two are not the same.
It's true.
You know, they do so much in post and
it's true.
Filtering and editing and like what that actually looks like on like either the digital film or the actual analog film. A lot different than photos that we take on our iPhones. So,
Fair.
You know, I think it's a wait and see. I trust what Timothy's out there doing.
I think I trust him too.
So
I do have major concerns though.
But I do wonder if he's going to talk or the voice light. Is that
it's
how
pretty
Bob
good. It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm not going to do it because I don't think I'll do a very good job, but that was pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. Should we do some wish list items?
Yeah. Okay. Around this time every year, I would say it's kind of an annual tradition for me to lock on to some absurdly, stupidly priced pair of shorts.
Fuck yeah. Ooh, I like these.
So I just stumbled across these, like looking at new arrivals on who knows where, and I pulled them up on Mr. Porter here. But this is a collaboration, an ongoing collaboration between Sakai and Carhartt Work in Progress, and this is a pair of olive green cotton canvas double knee shorts with a built-in belt, and I'm loving the fit. Mr. Porter did a great job styling here. I like them with the kind of the hiking focus shoes and the mid-calf socks with a basic white long sleeve t-shirt, Will. And I like the idea of kind of like a work, you know, kind of with the hammer loop. I like the work short. The work pant short is what I like. And I did try a pair from Abercrombie recently, but I had to go a size up because they didn't have my usual size and they were too big. So I had to send them back. So, you know, if I don't find, you know, an extra 450 laying around in the couch cushions this month, then I might try again from Abercrombie. But these are really, these are great looking.
These are cool.
I love these.
6.3 inch inseam.
That's perfect for me.
I was going to say that might be perfect.
I like a six inch inseam.
Unless you get the size threes, then it goes up to 6.7 inches. So just be careful out there. I approve. I haven't got a new scented candle in a while, mainly because I just get them from Velibox all the time. But I like to do my research. I like to see the market.
Right,
I like to do things.
You got to see what the ops are out there doing.
Yep. After bitching online about how my Casey Musgraves Deeper Well vinyl was stuck in Kansas for days on end, it has finally arrived, and I think I'm going to get the candle to go with it.
Now, I thought that I listened to a podcast maybe where you were beefing with Boyce Mills.
It's kind of more just like a fake beef.
Okay.
I don't have actual beef with them. I actually think they put out a really good product at a really good price point. unfortunately.
You just had a scent that you weren't in love with, right?
Maybe. It's possible. Okay. Yeah, I bought candles from them that I haven't liked, but my favorite candle from them of all time is Slow Burn from Casey Musgraves. Yeah, like it's just a really, it was always a really good candle. And so I think it's time. I like supporting my girl Casey. And I think I'm going to do the Casey Musgraves Boy Smells candle.
Shouts to Boy Smells Cashmere Kush. That's my favorite one that's just like part of their main line that you could also cop. But I agree with you. I think they do a nice product at a nice price.
For the price of the candle, it is as luxurious as it needs to be to justify the price, if not more.
Right.
And I think that a lot of candle companies out there could charge much closer to what Boy Smells charges, and they just don't.
And so
I commend Boy Smells for keeping their price point. While it is lofty at $56 for a candle, it is not nearly what they could easily charge way more.
I saw that that Casey this week, she lost out. She did not get a number one record. Ariana Grande took the number one spot for a second week in a row. But Casey was slanging some vinyls.
Casey,
she sold like 40,000 vinyls in the first week.
I accidentally bought like the one that's the most expensive one to resell now. I did not mean to do it, which is a nice little surprise.
So these things are fully selling out and reselling now, right?
Yeah.
Vinyls are?
Yeah. So I bought, I usually don't do this, but with vinyls, they have something called a picture disc where the disc just has, you know, a picture on it, like a drawing or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, what does hers have on it again?
A cardinal.
A cardinal, that's right.
And they were out of, I was going to buy the vinyl where she is naked on the front laying in a field. And part of the reason I was going to buy that one was because I had a theory that it was going to be more difficult to get later.
Yeah.
And it would be a cool thing to have. It sold out on the drop that I was buying from. And so I went and got the picture disc. And now the picture disc has like really shot up and become really popular. So it must be a good thing.
So let me get some numbers from you. How much did the Picture Disc vinyl cost?
I think I paid like $34 for it.
And what do you think you could resell it for now?
Double.
Okay.
It's selling for double what that is now.
And is this thing like a thing? Like, will they restock it in a month or like
probably.
That was it?
I would assume they're going to restock all these for her. Yeah, I would assume that they have it. And like, I've never seen this before. And I only do a little bit of research on Reddit for these things. But like, I was mainly on her Reddit trying to figure out if other people were having issues with their shipment. Like, for a package to be stuck in Olathe or Olathe, Kansas, whatever it's called, for that long, which does not seem like a big hub, I was very confused. So I went on the Reddit, and the amount of people that were commenting about buying the vinyls was crazy to me. Like, it was such a thing. There were so many people who gave, you know, early 20s just based on the way they typed and commented that were buying numerous vinyls, trying to get like, oh, I got this one, but I really want this one. There's a Target one that's red. It's just this whole thing.
Yeah.
But Casey's one of those artists where I'll probably buy her stuff on vinyl until
I think she makes sense for it.
Yeah.
Great SNL performances a few weeks back, by the way.
That all but solidified that I was happy with my vinyl purchase.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all she wrote today.
All right, y'all.
It's been fun.